Welcome to the Old Presbyterian Meeting House Sermon Podcast, where faith meets everyday life here in Alexandria, Virginia. We're glad you're here. Now center yourself, take a deep breath, and let's dive in.
Martin Luther called this passage the best and the most comforting sermon that the Lord Jesus Christ ever delivered on earth, a treasure and a jewel not to be purchased with the world's goods. These verses have become the foundation for comfort, not only for these disciples, but also for us. If you've ever been to the point in life where you think you've run out of escapes and there aren't any other places where you can rest, you can find a tremendously soft pillow in John 14, 1 through 6. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not let them be afraid. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will receive you to myself. For where I am, there you may also be. And you know the way to where I am going. In John 14, Jesus is preparing his disciples for departure. Departure from those we love always breaks our heart just a little bit. It's really hard to say goodbye. As Romeo says to Juliet at the end of Acts 2, good night and night, good night. Parting is such sweet sorrow that I shall say good night until tomorrow. Such drama. If you're a love-struck teenager, saying goodnight at the end of a phone call can be painful. No, you go first. No, you go first. If you are departing from family or friends who live across the country, that feeling of saying goodbye can be painful. If you are serving in the military and you're called up for active duty, saying goodbye and preparing for your leave is painful and stressful. It's just hard to say goodbye. It's hard to leave. Of course, the hardest goodbye is the one that feels the most permanent, which is why I have preached on this text more than any other at the time of a funeral. Because that goodbye and that unknowing of when we're going to see our beloveds again is the most heart-troubling and heart-aching of all. Jesus is preparing for his leaving, and the disciples do not know where he is going or how they will find him. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus tells his disciples that he goes to prepare a place for them. He will go on ahead. He will open the windows. He will shake off the rugs. He will get the water turned on. He's going to fill the fridge and the pantry. He's going to be waiting for them. It will all be prepared. It will all be ready when they get there. It reminds me of the scene in the movie Out of Africa. In the film, the servant always goes ahead and builds a fire. The servant's name is Farrar, and the narrator, Baroness, is Karen von Blixen's closest confidant and servant. Farrar is the central character who manages the household and accompanies the narrator on her travels and shares a deep, almost familial bond with her. At the end of the film, as the narrator is preparing to leave Kenya for good, she uses a personal memory to comfort Farrar. She recalls a time on safari when during the day, Farrar would go ahead to find a campsite and build a fire so that she could see it and know where to meet him. She tells Farrar, well, it'll be like that, only this time I will go ahead and build the fire. Farrar answers, and this place you are going, it is very far away. Then you must make this fire very big, Sabu, so that I can find you. The fire represents Farrar's loyalty, vigilance, and the narrator's enduring connection to him. It also reflects this servant leader dynamic in African storytelling, someone who acts ahead of the master, ensuring safety, comfort, and continuity. Farrar's character embodies this quality of servant leader, someone who serves with dedication and foresight and emotional intelligence, even in the face of separation. His willingness to go ahead and build a fire mirrors that servant leadership principle of anticipating the needs and creating conditions for success, even when the leader is not present. This morning, we're going to be electing new officers into the life of our congregation, and this work can feel perfunctory, administrative, lacking in the Holy Spirit. But I want to make the argument to you that calling disciples to serve in Christ's church is more than just a task. It is calling people into servant leadership. These are the people that we are believed who are called by God to go ahead and to prepare the way. In tactile ways, for sure, preparing a budget, preparing for worship, preparing curriculum, mission opportunities and meals, all the ways in which we walk into the church and we find the communion table is already spread, the mulch is already laid, the handouts are already printed. In tactile ways, yes, but in spiritual ways as well. Elders and deacons are called to prepare a holy place, a place that can strive to be a reflection of the heavenly place. What might that place look like? Have you ever walked into a dinner or an event late and found that all the seats are taken, and your anxiety may raise a little, and you might wonder if anyone will notice if you just sneak out and slip out the back door, and then someone, a family member or a friend, or better yet, even a stranger, raises their hand and says, "Here, here, I've saved a place for you." The slogan at my church in Iowa was, "A place for everyone." That was on our t-shirts, it was on our banners, it was everywhere. And we often debated if by everyone we really meant and lived out everyone. Was everyone really welcomed? Was this really a place for everyone? A place to play, a place to learn? What we never debated was that this was a place. This was a place. It was a place to pray, to gather, and to serve. And the place was always open. It's on us to create the kingdom of heaven on earth, to make this a place before we go to the heavenly place that Jesus has prepared. Making space and place for others is a divine quality. It's what God started in the beginning. It's what Jesus reveals in today's gospel. And it's what lives within us so that we too can be placemakers for others. It's one of the ways God shares God's life with us. And my sense today is that people are waiting and needing and even dying for a space and place to be open to them. Wherever space and place are closed, life is diminished, impoverished, and sometimes taken. Placemaking just might be the antidote to the pain, disconnect, and violence we see happening around us. The tragedy behind this text is that it has become a text of division. Through it, the church has set up boundaries to suggest that you can only get there if you know a certain way, a certain truth, and a certain life. John 14 has become the go-to text for discussions about salvation and exclusivity and religious pluralism, which are all worthy discussions to have, but they tend to pull verse 6 out of its context. Jesus does not say these words to speak doctrine. He spoke these words to give assurance. Our calling is not to police entry points into heaven, but to offer the same assurance we have been given. Our calling is to prepare a place. Maybe it is when we stop judging and condemning others for not believing what we think they should believe and actually start following this way of life that Jesus has laid out for us. Others indeed will start seeing who God truly is, a loving and compassionate parent, accept the new life God offers us, and begin moving in this way to the Father of loving others as Jesus did so well. No other author, in my opinion, has spoken more eloquently and fervently about the importance of place than the poet and writer Wendell Berry. Every Sunday morning, he walks his land and writes a poem creatively called Sunday Morning Poems. This is my favorite one. Some Sunday afternoon, it may be you are sitting under your porch roof looking out down through the trees to the river, and you're watching the rain. And the circles made by the raindrops striking and expand, intersect and dissolve, and suddenly, for you are getting on now, and much of your life is a memory, the hands of the dead who have been here with you rest tenderly as the rain rests shining upon the leaves. And you think then, for the thought will come, of the strangeness of the thought of heaven. For now you have imagined yourself there, remembering with longing this happiness, this rain. Sometimes, here, we are there, and there is no death. And there is no death. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. God will wipe away every tear from their eye. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away. I will go and prepare a place just for you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Old Presbyterian Meeting House in Alexandria, Virginia. We are glad to walk beside you in faith, reflection, and community. We hope today's sermon spoke to you. If so, please share it with a friend. Find us online at opmh.org/podcast. And until next time, may grace and peace go with you.